Good morning. How many of you are familiar with what a rivalry is? Now, I'm sure you've all been involved in one, at least in your short lifetime. You can probably think of one off the top of your head, Eau Claire Emanuel versus Eau Claire Regis. You can think of those t-shirts that people wear. My favorite teams, two teams, are the Vikings and whoever's playing the Packers. Yeah, ever since the fall of Adam, humankind has been involved in some kind of rivalry. But before we get to our text for today, I need to take a short history lesson and look at a family feud which developed into a national rivalry. It all went back to those twin sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. Jacob, as you know, from whose line the Savior would come, his people were the chosen people of God living in the southern kingdom of Judah. And Esau, they had parted ways. Esau went, and his people were settled in the kingdom of Edom. Very close. It was a border battle. The two nations, their rivalry is a bitter and bloody one. And Edom was conquered by the kings of Judah, and needless to say, they did not like it. There was a great deal of animosity between these two rivals. So now when Babylon comes to take the Jews away, the Edomites say, hey, this is a great time to get our revenge. They would come in and plunder Jerusalem, and they would cheer as their brother nation of Judah was carried off into captivity. Now it was for this reason that the judgment of God would come upon the kingdom of Edom. And in no uncertain terms, God spells out their judgment in the 34th chapter of Isaiah. But also in the same no uncertain terms, God spells out hope for his people in the kingdom of Judah. And these are the words for our consideration this morning. The prophet Isaiah says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. So the prophet has instruction for the people of God. Be strong. Do not fear. Now the people's hands had become weak and despairing. They have gone slack to their sides. They're just so grown feeble and spiritless. Their knees had become unstable, each next step taking a great amount of effort. So what causes this condition? Well, that's none other than the plague of sin and man's bitter rivalry against it. Does that sound familiar at all? Have your hands dropped to your side, grown feeble and spiritless, perhaps from your own struggle with personal temptation? Giving in time after time, you feel like there is no more hope for you. There's no reason to continue in your fight against your rival. Do you look in the mirror and see that great hypocrite staring you right back in the eyes? Knowing that as a proclaimed child of God, you keep getting entangled in that sin which so easily ensnares you. And you lament along with David, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Or like the people in this text, your knees stumble at the thought of going on, moving forward. Has the world full of God's enemies, your enemies, has it won? Would we be better off not getting out of bed in the morning? Not having to face all those problems that our sinful flesh proposes and that all the world has to offer? You turn on the news, you're not going to hear stories about hope and joy, usually. It's usually death and despair and hopelessness that makes the headlines. So yes, we too could be described like these people. Slack hands, feeble knees, entrenched in a bitter rivalry against ourselves, our sinful flesh, and against the devil. So yeah, it's not a rivalry like Regis and Emmanuel. It's not a rivalry like a nation versus nation, Judah and Edom. But we are entrenched in that rivalry every day. In a spiritual battle against the enemies of God and his people. So how can the prophet say, be strong, do not fear? Are these just empty words like saying, cheer up, things are going to get better. Maybe it won't be so bad tomorrow. No, these are words that are filled with hope, and there's a reason for that. And he points to the time when the Messiah would come. Now, when the Messiah did come, there were signs that he was the true promised Savior. People came and asked him, are you the one that's going to save your people from their sins, or should we look for another one? And he said, look at what's going on. The lame, they're walking. The blind, they're receiving their sight. The deaf, they're hearing. And the dead, they're rising again. This work of Jesus, these miracles, proclaimed no doubt that this was the Messiah. But these were the outward things. The work of redeeming you, both body and soul, that's what Jesus truly came for. He would look at your rivals right in the eye and defeat them. He'd stand toe to toe with your bitter enemies and take them down. He did this by taking God's righteous anger and punishment in your place. The heavy debt of sin was paid by Christ through his suffering and death. So these things that the Edomites did to grieve the people of God, your personal sins, giving in to temptation, and all the sins of mankind, those were all laid on Christ on Mount Calvary. Not only can we tell he is indeed the Messiah by how he raised the dead, but by how he himself rose from the dead. That serves as a guarantee that not only is he the Messiah, he is true God. He has made satisfaction for our sins. Our rival has been defeated. So yeah, God has given you the victory. He says, you win. Because of what Christ has done, he can certainly say to you, be strong, do not fear. Your rival is defeated, and in spite of all that stood against you, God has delivered you. Amen. To conclude our worship this morning, we'll sing hymn 32, verses 1 and 2. Hymn 32.